Please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Luke 24, 1 through 12. And this will complete the four accounts of the resurrection from the four Gospels. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise?" And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the mother of Jesus, James, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Did we read Mark? Don't think we did. Chapter 16 of Mark. Now we've got all four. You thought I couldn't count. So I was reading Luke saying, did we get all four? I don't think we did. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What a day. While it was still dark, now we read, sometimes they said, it was very early in the day, toward dawn. You know, when the sun starts coming up, it's still pretty dark. That's not a problem. But I've borrowed "While It Was Still Dark" as the title for this message. I hope you can see this, but this is a picture of, maybe we could cut these front set of lights, Tom. Top left-hand side. There you go. There you go. Is that better? Okay. This will kind of give you an idea of what a first century tomb looked like. So you can get a feel for rolling the stone away from the tomb. The stone, as you see, the one lady, I think it's a lady, has her left hand up on a notch in the stone. That would have rolled over and settled flat, and would have been very, very difficult to roll that stone up. It would have been about 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. About a foot thick, maybe a little bit less. Really a big stone. And it would have been on an incline, and it would have rolled downhill. It would not have rolled uphill very good. The incline was inside a trough, and you can see when you see the one on the left-hand side standing sort of over the top of the stone. That stone is not only resting on the mouth of the tomb, it's also resting against the stones in front of it so it can't tip outward. So it's going to roll in that slot, and it's going to come down and rest on that flat spot that you can see. It would take quite a few men, to roll that thing back up the other way. It would have been chiseled in place. They wouldn't have been rolling it back and forth. One person in the grave, and that was Jesus. There wasn't anybody else in there. And then that stone, once it was rolled down against the mouth of the tomb, would have been sealed. You can read about that in chapter 27 of Matthew. Around verse 62 or 3 is where the description starts. And they would have sealed that with a Roman seal. Now, the Roman seal, it sounds like, you know, you just put a stamp on it, but it wasn't like that. There would have been at least one, but probably two strips of rope strung in an X form over the stone that was up against the mouth of the tomb. And then the ends of those ropes would have been, quote unquote, cemented with something like our mortar up against the face of the tomb. And then there would have been a seal stamped on the front of those with a Roman seal. And death to all who would take that off. So they were going to make sure that Jesus couldn't be moved from the outside in. But just like God always does, He changes things from the inside out. So the women are coming to the tomb. They're wondering what it's going to be like because there would have been 16 guards. Those 16 men were responsible for making sure that no one touched the grave. Each man was in charge of 2 square feet of real estate. He had to stand all during the watch, could not sit down to rest, could not sleep. If he fell asleep, that was the end of his days. And everybody else in the guard. So these 16 men were guarding the tomb. The ladies come up. I'm sure they can see them. It doesn't look like they had any kind of conversation. And it looks like nothing is disturbed. That's the way I take it. They arrive. There's a great earthquake. Angels roll the stone back, which have been nothing for them. And they looked inside. And what did they find? Nothing. And Tom was very wise to be able to share with us the reality that the only spiritual leader in history whose grave has no bones in it is Jesus's. He was not there. Which brings me to this point. I hope you will allow me to share these with you. At the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." That did not mean everything was over. Now that's something we need to think about. Because to those disciples, it seemed like when Jesus said, "It is finished," tetelestai, it is finished, that was it. If they believed that wasn't it, what were they doing back at the grave again? They're tidying up the body of Jesus. They wanted to. They brought spices to make sure they could do that. not realizing that God was still working when it looked like everything was finished. Now, for us, it might be a little bit different. We're not going to travel to Jerusalem and try and look for the tomb of Jesus, the Holy Sepulchre, they call it. We're not going to do that. We won't have to do that. Because in no uncertain terms, there are going to be days in which it's going to seem like to you, in your faith, you're finished. You're done. And nothing good is going to happen from that time on. But dear ones, remember, Jesus said it was finished. He did not say it was over. As long as God is alive, He's still working. And He's working in your life. We are in the midst of what I would consider very dark times. Who would think we would ever live in a culture where the leaders of the culture would declare a day of transgender celebration on Easter? Who would think we could get there? And you could think, I don't know how things can get any worse. But brethren, that's looking in the wrong direction. God is working. Don't ever believe that He's done. Because Jesus said it was finished, we have the freedom to come to God and ask Him, oh God, please help. He will not meet our expectations, but He'll meet you in your experience. And He will work on your behalf for the glory of His own name. Just wait while He works. Interesting that the ladies were there. Hopefully, there'll be ladies around you who do not give up hope, who realize it's not over until God says it is. We need to think about how God works. In dark times, remember light teaching. I don't mean light in gravity. I mean light in brilliance. Did you notice how many times in the scriptures that we read you saw the word remember? Perplexed, did not understand, but then remembered what He had said. One of the things that's easiest for believers to do is to forget in darkness what God taught them in the light. It's not difficult for us to learn when things are going well. What's difficult is to remember what we were taught when things were well, when it's dark all around us and we don't see any way forward. This word was given to us so that how much of your light life would be illuminated by the light. Basically 5 feet. A light into my path. A lamp into my feet. That's a lantern that you carry. Carried one. Feeding sheep. It just illuminates where you're going to step in 2 strides. We want to see the end of the story from where we stand looking down the road. But that's reserved for what person? God. God looks down the road and He directs our path where He wants. Our call is to remember what He's taught us when things were better. Let's look at a passage in the Old Testament to affirm this truth. Look what the writer of the 77th Psalm did. Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has His steadfast love forever ceased? Are His promises at an end of all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The clash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. Lead your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Can you look back in your life and see the hand of the Lord in at least one experience you had? If someone asked you to come up here this morning and share that with everyone, could you do that? Just one. One specific event in which you could not see a way out and God was there. I remember when we were preaching, we preached for 2 years in a little country church in Westervelt, Illinois. It wasn't far from where I was born and raised. They needed someone to preach to them. We would go down on a Thursday night, and I would work all weekend there, preach on Sunday. We lived with my parents during the time on the weekends, and then we'd go back to school on Monday, and I would have class Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then we would leave again and do the next thing. Did that for 2 years. It was a great time of learning. I remember on one occasion, we were needing a washer and dryer. This seems so mundane, doesn't it? We needed a washer and dryer. I didn't need healing from heart surgery. It wasn't like that. A lot of times God works in little ways, but work He does. And so we called Shirley's dad. One of the commitments we made when we were married is we would never make a major decision without consulting our parents. That's just something we decided we were going to do. And we did that faithfully. we had to make a decision about a washer and a dryer. So I thought I was going to be the one who rescues. Went to Sears at the mall. Isn't that where you go when you need something? And we saw a really, really nice Kenmore washer and dryer set. $234. Now that looks like quite a deal. But back then, when you didn't have two nickels to rub together, that seemed like quite a large sum. So I thought, well, I've got to lead through this. So I sat down to try to figure out what it would take if we borrowed the money, bought it, and made monthly payments. Seemed logical to me. And so I had this all figured out. I had it all figured out. And then I remembered our commitment with each other. Oh, we've got to call her dad. That's a big hill to climb when you're just a young husband. I wasn't sure he's going to agree with us and what plan I had made. So we called. Shirley started first. She wanted to talk to everybody. Then I got on the phone, and it was the old style, you know, a little black job, and one of those things. And he started talking, and he says, well, Chuck, I'm not sure I would do that. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't do that. And I thought, great, I did all this research, and I've got this all planned out, and I can make it happen tomorrow. And he's saying no. But we made a commitment. So I'm not going to go against her dad. Just not going to do that. I'm the husband. I can do what I want to, right? I'm in charge of the family. I'm the head of the household. But I didn't think like that. I thought, okay, we're going to do this. Thursday of that week, he calls. He says, well, I went to a sale, and he bought and sold things, and said it was an elderly woman, and she was moving into, well, we call them assisted living now. She has almost a brand new washer and dryer for sale for $75. Now, God has my attention. What brand were they? I'm going to outthink God on this one. Yeah, duh. Kenmore. $75. Where am I going to get $75? Went to the mailbox. Got a letter from my sister, one of my sisters. Said God prompted us to send you a check for $75. There I was standing with the money to buy the washer and dryer, which Dad said, if we wanted, he will bring it to us on Sunday. And I said, oh, you bet. Is God interested in little things? Well, he better be, because I wrote his name behind that one. I love 1 Peter 3. Cast all of your anxiety on God. Verse 7. Cast all of your anxiety on the Lord, for he cares about every little thing that concerns you. Is there something you have to overcome? I just told you in the light what he will do in the dark. He will always act on behalf of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Just wait. Well, you say, I can't stand underneath that load. Well, you don't have to. God didn't ask you to stand. He asked you to kneel. You kneel under the load and you let him handle it. At home, I've got a double yoke. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a double yoke that they put on oxen or donkeys sometimes. to let them pull together on a load. Usually there was a double tree. I'm not going to go into that. It's just a double yoke. One thing about a double yoke, you can always count on what's in it with you to help pull with you. And I realized I hung that up in my shed, a little garden shed. I hung it up there. So every time I walk in, get ready to go out, I remind myself, who's in the yoke with me? There's a verse for this in the Bible, believe it or not. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. I don't mind getting in the yoke with Jesus. Because I've learned in the daylight to trust him in the dark. And I'm here to testify that you can too. I got this from Johnny Erickson Tata. God sometimes allows what he hates as he accomplishes what he loves. You say, well, preacher, where in the world did that come in this text? Who created death for the world? Did God do that? No, the scripture says, by one man, death entered the world. Who was that one man? I think we want to have a chat with Adam when we get there. What were you thinking? And he's going to turn around and say the same thing you were thinking when you sinned. By Adam, death entered the world. God hates death because that wasn't anything he ever wanted. He knew it was going to happen, but he didn't want it. Because he is the God of life. There's a day coming when he's going to get rid of death. When is that? And there will no longer be any death or dying, any sorrow or grief, no pain. When's that going to be? Revelation tells us when we get to heaven, he hates death, but he loves to give life to anybody that wants it. Do you? It came at a great cost. But it is for us a free gift. Receive it. Receive it. Today, if you hear his voice, realize all that's needed for an adoption to be finalized for you was done at the cross. God signed his name to the adoption papers. And he offers you an invitation to come and claim it as yours. It's sealed, signed in Jesus' blood. Quite expensive. Jesus said, "It's finished." But it's not over. Do you think the choir, when Jehoshaphat was going to fight the battle, thought they were finished? Yep, we're going down. How are you going to take flutes and war against fighters? David could have thought he was finished. I mean, the dude was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. I saw a guy recently who was trying to block another guy's basketball shot. He came in, and I mean, he was going after it, and he jumped so high, he hit his head on the rim. Almost knocked him out. Goliath had to duck to get under. That's a big boy. But one of the things that that choir and David had in common, and we could go on and on about the stories. It may look like you're finished, but it's not over. You may think that that thing you have done has finished you, but it hasn't. It's not over. You're not finished. It's not over. God is still alive, and He's still working. Just remember the empty tomb. Brethren, I don't think God wants it to be lost on us. The tomb was already empty before the stone was rolled away. It was already empty. God was already doing His work. And it may be today you do not realize what you're walking through. God is already working through. And He has it all figured out. Trust Him. Trust Him. Because someday when you see it all like He sees it, you're going to hope and will pray that you followed Him. He's always on the winning side. You think about it, and you think about our country, you think about some of the stuff that's going on, and it could just make you so mad you could bite nails in half. But just remember, while evil thinks it's winning, it's only temporary. Because God's victories are final. Always final. And we want to be glad we're walking with the man that hung on that cross and then left the grave without touching a stone. Oh, and for those who think it's a terrible thing for God to break the Roman law and unseal the tomb, brethren, that's not a problem. The tomb was empty. There's nobody in there. What's the problem? Break the seal. There's nobody in there. God can do abundantly, exceedingly, beyond anything we could hope, think, or even imagine. And He wants to write that story in your experience, not because He can make much of you, but so that we could make much of Him in a godless culture. So let's don't be afraid to tell people, yeah, it looks like Christianity's finished in America. It's not over. He knows how to bring the proud down and raise the humble up. He knows how to bring life into death for those who love Him. Let's honor the Lord Jesus. Follow hard after Him. Dear Father, thank You for the chance to remind ourselves what we already know, But we sometimes look like we don't believe. I'll admit, Lord, I've doubted a lot in the dark. And I have forgotten what you taught in the daytime. Please forgive us for that. And help us remember in the watches of the night the things that you have done. You are good. There is no one like you. There is no one who can stand against you. There is no need to fear. For what can man do to us? He's but a vapor, a mist, here for a while and gone. But you are forever and ever. We praise your name. Because you live, we also can live. Help us walk in faith, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.